Good evening, everyone. It is great to be here with you tonight. And for the next three nights, we are going to be going over part of the identity of Central. If you grab a bulletin of Central, there are those three phrases there. Worship God, care for each other, impact the world. Now, we have been doing that. Pastor Charles have been preaching on that for the past three Sundays in the morning services. But many of you are students, maybe don't come to morning service. And we found that it is crucial that we all in the same page. That when someone asks you what is Central about, you will give them the right answer. Worship God, care for one another, impact the world. And this evening, I'm going to start with the first one and talking about worshiping God. Now, I do know that in the bulletin, it was written Psalm 29 that I was going to deal with that. But as I went into it, I realized that Psalm 96, which part of the psalm is exactly the same as 29, will deal better with the subject. So we actually read him from Psalm 96. So if you open your Bibles on Psalm 96, and we'll be reading the whole psalm. I must say that this subject is one that is close to my heart, and yet it is... This message of tonight is by no means an exhaust on what it means to worship God and all its facets. But I pray that what we have been singing tonight in terms of beholding God and the beauty of His name and worshiping Him and adoring Him will become reality in our lives. So, Psalm 96, it says... Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for He comes. For He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in His faithfulness. Oh Lord, we ask You that You will speak to us, that tonight that Your word will penetrate our hearts. Oh Lord, please, please help me as I want to be faithful in what You want to say, Lord. And so speak to us tonight. By Your mercy and grace, in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So I want to start this sermon with the premise that all of us are worshipers. That we have been made to worship. That we have been made to ascribe glory to God. But not only that, that each one of us is worshiping something or someone constantly. Here's how Louis Giglio in his book Wired for a Life of Worship describes worship. Worship is our response to what we value the most. So, all of us are constantly worshiping. Now, I want to show you a couple of pictures there. So, I actually wanted to show a videos of when people meet their heroes, you know, or their stars, and they go crazy, and some of them cry, and some of them are just in awe that they want to get away from them, and it's like it's almost a reaction of worship. But the videos were too long, so I'll just show you some pictures of fans. There is Mandela with the 1995 rugby team, and Sia Kolisi. There's that guy there on top. He became famous in Brazil because he will go to every World Cup, and he will support Brazil wherever. And he's crying there. I don't know if you can see it. That was when Brazil lost. I think that was after Germany, the hiding that we got. But if you go to a stadium and you see whether it's the Bulls or Kaiser Chiefs, and you are crazy about it, and there are people that have invested their lives and they value it, so it's they are worshiping. They are worshiping, and all of us are constantly worshiping something. Isn't it interesting that wherever you go on planet Earth, and as you go even into history, whatever civilization you go, they are worshiping some kind of God. It's almost like the atheism. It's more like a newer, you know, because wherever you go, they have a sun god or a moon god, and every human being is naturally inclined to worship something. And we even see it in the scriptures that when Paul goes to Athens and says, he sees the scripture there that the Athens had put to an unknown god, and Paul goes on to preach them about that. And that's because we have been made in the image of God. For by Him, through Him, and for Him are all things. Colossians 1:16. And so all of us are constantly worshiping, whether you acknowledge it or not. So if we are constantly worshiping something or someone, you know, I mean, when Justin Bieber came out, you know, the believers were, you will see these teenage girls going absolutely crazy for it. I don't know if there are some of them at the back there. No? Okay. I just saw some smiles, so I just assumed. But I want to go, as we go into the psalm, just the psalmist gives us a couple of reasons why we should worship God. Why should God be the object of our worship and not something else? And so as we go through the psalm, the first reason that he gives, he starts with sing to the Lord. So all of this is worship. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Bless his name. Tell of his salvation. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. And here is verse 4. We start here. He gives us a reason. Because, for great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. So the first reason the psalmist gives us why we should worship God is because the Lord is great. For the Lord is great. God, He is great. He is greater than anything we could imagine. He is greater in every way. He's the best, and in anything compared to him will lose the title of great. If you compare even the greatest, the Great Canyon, compared to God, it loses the title of great. Nothing is as great as God is. God is infinitely greater in every way. If you think about the sun is great, but compared to God, it's not. God is greater. $1 million, sure will be great. But compared to who God is, that's nothing. An ice cream on a hot day is so good. But God is so much, and I know this is bad English, so much gooder. And so we compare whatever thing or person to God, He is great. And the point I'm trying to make, and the psalmist does, is that the greatness of our God should make us worship Him. Because there is no one like Him, because He's matchless, He's in a completely different category altogether, there is nothing greater than who He is, we should worship Him. That is a reason why our hearts should worship and glorify Him, because He is great. He's greater than anything. But we carry on. Next verse, in verse 5, He gives us a second reason. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. So in other words, worship Him, glorify Him, adore Him. Why? Because all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. Now let me just come back to verse 4 again. So, for great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And then the next phrase, He is to be feared above all gods. So you may think, oh wait, above all gods. So is there any other gods? And then he goes and says, all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. Now this is a profound statement. What the Bible is saying here is that all the things and persons that are ascribed godhood by all the peoples are worthless idols. Let me just say that again. Everything, all the things or person that are ascribed godhood apart from God by all the peoples are worthless idols. In other words, there is only one God. Whatever you call God besides God, it's a worthless idol. It's useless. It's completely powerless. And look at the contrast he makes in verse 5. All the gods of peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. In other words, they can't create anything. These worthless idols that you're calling God, they can't create anything. I am the Lord who created the heavens. I am the powerful one. So He is the only creator. There is no other creator and powerful God. And so here we are only seeing two reasons why we should worship God. And there are many more. In throughout Scripture, because of His love, His salvation, and so many others. But I'm just using this too because of the text. But how should we worship God? So there are four things there in terms of the tone of our worship. How should we approach this amazing God, and how should we do this? So, from verse 7, ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. So ascribe or acknowledge. So this thought suggests recognize the glory and the strength which he manifests. So recognize who is the one full of glory and strength. Do not ascribe it to someone else. Do not ascribe it to yourself or your own wisdom. When something happens and is great, and you might glorify yourself and you may ascribe the glory to your own power or whatever it is, he's saying ascribe to the Lord all the glory. One of the commentators says it like this: the idea is bring to God what is due to him, or render such acknowledgement as he deserves and claims. Acknowledge him as God and acknowledge him to be such a God as he is. Let the honor due to God as such be given him, and let the honor due to him for the character which he actually has be ascribed to him. Now, if you got lost in what I'm saying, let me just use an example, an illustration, in order to make this point. When the Queen of England walks into a room, there is certain honor given to her because she is the Queen of England. So there is a position of honor there, and when she comes in, a lot of people rise up. I was speaking to a friend of mine, Mbongi, who studied with me, and he's from Swaziland, and he was telling me that in Swaziland, when the king is on the highway, let's say, and his car is coming, obviously with other cars, and there's a Swazi told me that it was a Rolls Royce. He's riding the Rolls Royce, and what happens is when the king is driving through, all the other cars will go to the side and stop. If you have any hat on your head, you need to take it off. The ladies, if they are on the side of the road, they will have to sit down. And this is all honoring the king who is driving past. And what the psalmist is saying here is you need to ascribe the glory due to the character and of God, of who he is. So what would that even be? Well, my answer will be infinite glory and honor and all adoration, because he is infinitely greater than any king that we have. His character is worthy of all the praise and glory we could ever give him. And so ascribing the glory due to his name, to who he is that of complete surrender. All the honor and all the glory and all the bowing down. The word worship literally means prostrate before him. Because he is worthy, because he, that is according to his nature, that is what is due to him because of his splendor. We ought to worship him in the splendor of his holiness. So there is here a manifest allusion to the form of how it addressed kings in the eastern nations. They will be seated in majestic manner with all the marks of royal honor and dignity about them. And that's why I'm making the reference to, if there is someone of honor, royalty, you bow down, you recognize, you acknowledge, you ascribe to that person the honor and glory due to them. He is above all kings, above all authorities, and so he deserves all our praise and worship. But my question is, if we know of all these things, if we know God is so great, and we have seen it even in our own lives, even in our salvation, wretched sinners, If we see that He created the heavens and the earth, and you look at butterflies and you look at how beautiful they are, and this Creator God, amazing God, deserves all the worship, why don't we worship Him as we ought to? Why don't we worship Him like that? And the sad reality is because of idolatry. Romans 1, Paul tells us, "For although they knew God, they did not honor Him," there is that word, "as God, or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things." And this is the reality of what is happening all around us. As we started, we said we are worshiping all the time. And yet, we prefer to worship money. We prefer to worship celebrities. We prefer to worship even our social media or social acceptance. We prefer to worship self. Put our desires above anything else. I mean, it's crazy to think that a guy from, like, Maradona, the soccer player from Argentina, he was the guy, the famous guy that scored a goal against England with the hand, and they called it the hand of God and all of that. Believe it or not, he has a church and they worship him as a god in Argentina. True story, you can Google it. But we've exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal men and birds and animals and creeping things. Futile. And this is the first commandment to us, goes into against this. So Martin Luther said of the first commandment, "You shall have no other God before me." He said that the Ten Commandments begin with two commandments against idolatry. It is because the fundamental problem in law breaking is always idolatry. In other words, we never break the other commandments without first breaking the law against idolatry. We are constantly putting someone else or something else as our God, as our object of worship. We are constantly, whenever we sin, we have placed something else as our God, and we have committed idolatry. We see this all around us. So what is the solution to that? Martin Luther just expanding on that, saying, "All those who do not at all times trust God and do not in all their works or sufferings, life and death, trust in His favor, grace and goodwill, but seek His favor in other things or in themselves, do not keep this first commandment and practice real idolatry, even if they were to do the works of all the other commandments. And in addition, had all the prayers, obedience, patience, and chastity of all the saints combined, for the chief work is not present, without which all the others are nothing but mere shame, show and pretense, with nothing back of them." So the solution to this idolatry is to look at the cross, is the gospel. Look at these scriptures, 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Ephesians 2:18, or through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. And Romans 5:2-11, through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So here's my point with reading these verses. See, all those idols are worthless, and they cannot satisfy our longing heart. Only God can satisfy, and the gospel is what gives us that. As John Piper puts it, Christ died to give us our heart's desire, God. So, looking at the scriptures, he died so that he might bring us to God. And we will have access to him, and we will enjoy him. And we need to remember that Christ, that God himself, is our ultimate source of enjoyment and satisfaction to our hearts. Nothing else, no worthless idol, nothing else can bear Godhood. Nothing else can bear Godhood. Only God can bear Godhood, if you understand what I'm saying. Only God can satisfy the desires of our hearts to be fully content, to be fully satisfied. Christ is our treasure. It's as we look at the gospel of Jesus Christ and understand his forgiveness in him, and nothing else can bring satisfaction to my longing heart for worship. That's why you see people going from one thing to another, to another, to another, because nothing is ever satisfying enough. No matter what you're worshiping, it will always come short. Only God can satisfy fully our hearts. That we will be able to say, as Paul said, I consider all these things as rubbish compared to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That all my affections, all of my being is fully devoted to Christ. Often we come to God for what he can give us, as if he is a means to our own end, whether that be blessings, whether that be protection, whether that be a good marriage or good children or whatever that is. But God is the Alpha and Omega. He is the end of our worship. We don't go to him to get something else from him. We go to him to get him. He is the greatest treasure. He is the great I am. Beneath any particular sin is the sin of rejecting Christ's salvation and indulging in self-salvation. The problem is we are constantly thinking we can do it by ourselves. Doing it by our own righteousness. Living life on our own terms. and worship, by the way, it is all of life. Romans 12, verse 1. In view of God's mercies, present your body as a living sacrifice. That is all of life. And so my prayer tonight is that as we look at the cross and understand that we are hopeless without Him, that anything else that you worship is worthless idols and is not able to bring you to salvation, is not able to give you the satisfaction your heart so longs for. As you look at the cross and see the beauty of what Christ has done for you, not because of anything you have done, but purely because of His grace and mercy and love for you, that will captivate your heart, as Pastor Charles preached a couple of weeks ago. And that love will fill our hearts, so that all of my life, if I look at the cross and see what He saved me from and what He has done for me, how can I not worship Him? And constantly living a life of repentance from our idolatry, from our, whenever our eyes go away from Christ, that we will repent and trust Him again. So we as a Central want to be a church that worships God, that our lifestyles will clearly proclaim to the rest of the world, to the rest of Pretoria, to the rest of your friends, that you are worshiping God. That you're not worshiping whatever the people around you are worshiping, but you are living for Him, devoted to Him, loving Him. I pray that God will help us with that. Oh Lord, it is all about You. Thank You for the cross. Thank You for rescuing us from our sins. Thank You because there is no one like You, Jesus. Thank You because You are great and worthy to be praised. Lord, I ask You that You will help us to worship You according to the glory You are due to receive, Lord. That all of our lives, our thoughts, our words, our manner will be Christ glorifying. So help us, Lord, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.